Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Hello again and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We also offer an extremely high-rated, privately held safe depository service and specialize in wealth and capital preservation for people who want a true hedge against inflation, who want to actually secure their wealth for the future in a real, true, long-term, solid way. Precious metals-based assets, that includes coins as well, numismatic and semi-numismatic, is the ideal way to do it. It's the best long-term way to do it. You know, numismatic coins, as I've been mentioning lately, has, over the long haul, they've done terrific. They do run in cycles. And I think one of the biggest cautionary positions I have to admit on them is just the fact that there are a lot of different kinds of things that are coins that people will propose as numismatic that are not. And that's, you know, like the state quarter program or presidential dollars and things like that. To be quite frank, that's all junk. It's nothing you'd ever want to invest in. The mintages alone are insane, and I mean literally in the billions per date and mint mark run. When we talk about semi-numismatic coins, we're talking about, you know, Morgan silver dollars. I'm always a touter of those. I specialize in Morgans. I come from Montana. I have the privilege of buying quite a few Morgans, although there's no doubt that market has changed drastically. The old estates, or incredible hoards, collections, whatever you want to call them, of numismatic and semi-numismatic stuff, they're definitely drying up. And so these coins are starting to come into incredibly high demand. We come across some of this stuff very scantily anymore when we used to just get it literally in pretty high quantities. The word in all the industry publications is that at any major coin show or things like this, any kind of good quality fresh material is literally being fought over by dealers. I mean, when you get into nice quality original old U.S. coins, folks, I mean, they're drying up. I mean, number one, the population has grown, you know, over time. Number two, their global demand is becoming absurd. So many of our numismatic coins are going overseas, and they're never to come back. I know a guy out of San Francisco that's the biggest, or was, I think he retired, but was the one of the biggest proprietors of Chinese coins in the world, and he dealt with the Chinese incredibly in high volume. And he said what the Chinese do, they don't think like we do. They don't buy a coin and check back in 6 months and say, did I make it? He said these people actually secure true wealth. They put it away. He said they buy stuff and it's gone literally for hundreds of years. He's bought coins that his family members bought over 250 years ago, he was telling me a story, and more, that they just put it back and they let it grow, and that's what they do. They don't live way beyond their means. If they do, they don't liquidate their assets. He said they just pound away at their debt or whatever, or they'll give up a piece of real estate that's over financed before they'll give up their assets. I like that mentality. I mean, it's a long-term mentality. The Chinese have the oldest recorded astrological records going back almost 4,000 years. There's men who've studied them and say that there's absolutely a record of the entire stars and sky moving on the date, basically, that Christ rose from the dead, as the Bible said. There's also an event, I think he said like 27 years prior to that, when they believe, many believe that Christ visited Egypt and fulfilled prophecy by climbing the Great Pyramid of Giza, which does not have a capstone. In Isaiah 19, it talks about the monument to God in the middle and the border of Egypt. I've gone over all that. There's biblical prophecy, just the Great Pyramid saturated in biblical prophecy. Christ called himself the cornerstone and the capstone. In the book of Job, God says to Job, "Where were you when I built the cornerstones of the earth?" And then it goes on and basically Christ is the capstone and cornerstone, which can only happen in a pyramid. And so the theory is that 27 years earlier, when there was these incredible astronomical events, that this was when Christ fulfilled prophecy by climbing the Great Pyramid, standing there as the capstone. It's interesting stuff, to say the least. At that time, and the time of his birth, and the time of his resurrection, there's three closely tied astrological events in the Chinese history that literally they say are describing unbelievable supernovas and all this stuff, which to our knowledge, we should still see traces of that. We don't, but at the same time, we don't have enough history of recording astronomical events to know how long things last. And the thing is, based on our understanding of time and light, they should last longer. But at the same time, how did light that's 40 billion light years away get to us? And there's a whole story of each time light gets measured, it's going slower than the time before. And it could have been an exponential decline. It could have been at the time of Adam's fall, something changed or whatever. Bottom line is, the Chinese have old stuff. They've been around a long time. They don't think like we do. I mean, we should think in centuries. We don't even do that as Americans. That's why Americans have no survival plan. They have no backup food. They have no water. We just think, as 1 Peter 3:8 or 2 Peter, whatever it is, says, that we think that things are going to go on as they've gone since the beginning. It's evolution, you know. And until Darwin and Karl Marx came on the scene, not only was evolution never a question, the existence of God was never a question. I think I mentioned last week I was doing some studies on the early Egyptian theology, which I really enjoy. And I mean, they put more emphasis on the afterlife than anything else. Their life here on earth was just in preparation of the afterlife. This goes back thousands and thousands of years here on earth. And they get different views of God, and you know, we can get into that whole conversation. But there are some of the early Egyptian theology that parallels early Judaism so close it's got to be the same thing. And theology, the existence of God, is nothing new. In fact, atheism is a new concept on earth. Man never questioned it. You look back, and that's always been a key part. And communism is designed as the eradication tool of not only God, but primarily Christianity. And it's, I'm sure, contributed to the spread of Christianity, but communism has contributed to the greatest amounts of genocide in the history of the world. And in the last 100 years, more people been killed by communist leaders than have been killed in all the recorded wars throughout the history of Earth. But to cap off what I was saying about the whole numismatic coin thing, I mean, I touched on it on the previous show. In the last 50 years, the top 10% of all U.S. coins, collectability-wise, have gone up 40-fold, according to the Rarities and Key Date Index. Since 1971, 40-some years ago, they've gone up 30-fold. So they've been doing this for a long time. When they post those kind of consistent returns over a 40-year period of time, it's probably not unrealistic to expect it to continue. So worst-case scenario, you just get some in your portfolio. We recommend at least 10%. As the topping of any portfolio. There's a lot of people that come in, they're stern, they're solid, they want their precious metals, we sell it to them, but we feel we know what's going on, and there's not the risk involved that I think people think. It's just what you have to do. You can't go out and buy because a salesman's on the phone pumping hype at you. We never do that. We don't solicit. We'll never telemarket. We don't do it. We wait for people to come to us. And the second thing, so you don't buy when someone's on the phone hyping it at you, or if it's on TV and the guy's screaming at you, and you don't buy based on some limited research you do yourself. Anymore, there's nothing you can get on the web that isn't paid for, okay? Any hits, any Google hits you get, they're paid for by big money. These people are selling product. They can get all they want. They're not selling you that really good quality, nice, original, problem-free, collector-grade material, and that's what we do. I mean, we build some cool portfolios.
True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is the premier precious metals dealer in the entire Northwest. Since 9/11, the U.S. dollar has lost over 50% of its spending power, while gold and silver have increased in value by over 300%. Numerous experts predict gold and silver to increase by 300 to 500% over the next 3 to 5 years. Whether buying, selling, or investing, Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. And now, back to True Wealth.
I, of course, am a diehard collector and an extremely educated numismatist. We are the eyes and ears of our clients, investors, and collectors. And the thing that we offer that no one else can offer, and I assure you, no one has the quality of material that we have. And the real reason that we've got available what we do is because I, in my business over all these years, I've handpicked and selected pretty substantial quantities of certain things. And we've got some debt that we've chosen to alleviate against some real estate. And so I've chosen to allow my customers, my investment-based customers, to have access to some of this stuff that you just can't go out and get. And I'm talking everything from rolls of key date Lincoln pennies that are, you know, substantial, 09 VDBs and 24 Ds and 11 Ss and stuff that you could not get a nice original roll of anywhere, no matter how hard you tried. Top quality Buffalo nickels, extremely rare, nice mid quality Mercury dimes. By mid quality, I mean mid price. Top quality, but mid price. We really look for value. We know value. There's some things that are really exotic and expensive. That's not what we're pushing. There are some things that are extremely desirable. And, you know, we look for things that are in demand all the time, desirable all the time, completely recognizable anytime. There's just absolutely no reprieve at any time. There's never enough to match the collector demand. And that's basically what we're putting into the upper portion of our portfolios. The basis of our portfolios are bullion. The mid section is what we call semi-numismatic. The old $20 gold pieces, $10 gold pieces, fives, 2.5 Indians when we have them. They made two gold coins that are an incused design at the U.S. Mint. Incused is where they actually stamp the design into the coin. All the other coins they stamp and the design gets lifted up out of the coin. It's called, they call it relief when the coin detail sticks up. An incused design is where the high point of the coin is the field or the flat part, and then the design is stamped into the coin. They made two Indian heads, a $2.5 and a $5 Indian, extremely scarce coins, but not ridiculously expensive. Their price is tied to the value of gold for the most part. And then there's also a $10 Indian that was the other design. You've almost all heard of the St. Gaudens. That's one of the most beautiful coins made by the U.S. Mint. That was designed by Augustus St. Gaudens. That's the $20 gold piece that started in 1907 and ceased in 1933. He also designed a $10 Indian, which is a gorgeous coin. So we have like the $10 Indian, $5 Indian, and $2.5 Indian. We'll put those little sets together and maybe add in the St. Gaudens because that's it. They call that the Indian collection. But there's also some other $1 and $3 gold pieces that have an Indian head or a princess head on them. We have one uncirculated type 2 $1 gold piece, which you never get, etc. I think you get the point. I mean, we've got a great selection, and that's, you know, there's some phenomenal stuff that way. Of course, you always want that bullion because it's God's endorsed, authorized, and ordained money biblically from the beginning of the Bible through to the end. We've seen the metals coming back to life recently. Which is what we've expected. They were hideously manipulated down. We are currently under the leadership of a tyrant, of a crooked tyrant. I'm sorry about that, but that's the truth. And he has been overseen some terrific manipulation of the metals. The advantage of that is it's an incredible buying opportunity. The disadvantage is if you wrote it out. But, you know, people say, oh, I wish I would have waited. You just don't know. And this has been a 13 was a tough year. It was the only year in the last 13 years that we've seen a decline in the metals. Now we're back on fire. Since the beginning of this year, we've seen the metals go up well over 10% in, less than 2 months. That's a pretty good return. That's over 5% a month, maybe 6%, whatever. But it's just back alive. It's back to normal, so we're going to get to experience that old, good old feeling. But, you know, the speculative growth is wonderful, folks. But like I was talking with a gentleman this last week, the point of owning metals is to secure your wealth. It's like if you have $1,000 today, you put it in, pull it out 10 years from now, you should be able to buy the same amount of stuff. Truth be told, the metals got pushed up pretty high over this last few, you know, whatever year run. And it gets to the point where it becomes institutionally driven. You know, when you have year after year after year of these 30%+ gains, I mean, it's just unreasonable. It's the longest bull run in the financial history of the world, precious metals. They've been the strongest market in the history of the financial world. A lot of that's caused just because they artificially suppressed it so bad. But at the same time, it's real inflation. It's showing what Obama's doing to our money supply and the Fed. It's showing us the truth. And there's really still nothing else to be in. If you happen to have liquid capital, there's never been another better time. I mean, anytime you've got a previous high and a low like this, you've got a, you know, gold previously hit 1900. It's currently sitting around 13 and change. You got silver previously almost hitting $50, and now we're down around 22. We know it's going back to the highs. It always does, and then it blows through them. This has happened 4 times since 9/11, these cycles. It's just what the market does. And so as far as a buying opportunity, I'm serious. There's none of the institutional activity right now. For the most part, they're pulling away their manipulative activities, so they're going to let it be because they don't need to manipulate. They have this huge, messy fiasco of money coming from overseas, and I'm not justifying it, but that's the logic behind what they were doing. So the market will be allowed to run freely. The big banks are going to want to make a bunch of money on all their newly acquired gold and so on. You've got all these ETFs that are short now. The reserves are completely depleted. And I'm telling you, folks, don't lose sight. When you hear some of these analysts' logical numbers that make all the sense in the world, I mean, they're predicting huge potential runaway gains that are based on a large quantity of very solid financial indicators that really paint a financial scenario that leaves no other option, because the markets, there's a lot of extremely respected experts predicting some tremendous collapsing coming up in the financial markets, folks. If you're in there, do yourself a favor, get out, take the short-term profit that they've made you and everybody else, buy into the metals. As Warren Buffett says, when everyone's buying, I'm selling. When everyone's selling, I'm buying. The metals are a terrific value right now. This is a perfect opportunity once in a lifetime again. You will look back and remember this as the beginning of serious value.
True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is locally owned and operated and offers the Spokane area one of the nation's premier precious metals facilities. Coins Plus guarantees that you will not find more competitive pricing anywhere. Don't be fooled into mailing your valuable gold and jewelry into some unscrupulous TV infomercial. Coins Plus will always pay you the most for your gold. Whether buying, selling, or investing, Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. And now, back to True Wealth.
In the first half of the show, I began a discussion on the history of Karl Marx, and the bottom line is he's exactly the opposite of what he says. He's not for the people. What he created in communism is the anti-Christian religion, and because of it, over 300 million people on this earth have been destroyed. He wrote some terrible poems. I'm going to read them here in a sec, but you know, our governmental system, folks, has run amok, okay? The deception that we are a democracy is starting to glorify completely irrational thought and behavior. Irrationality is becoming rational, okay? It's like Proverbs 21:30 said, "There's no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord." Despite man's arrogance and effort, there's no wisdom that supersedes the wisdom of the Bible. We're living in a new era of deception and disinformation. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say, "I read it on the web." Really? And that makes it true. I've not only mentioned in the past on my shows about George Soros having hundreds of websites with paid bloggers pushing various radically liberal agendas dedicated to deception, but George Soros is among the self-anointed, overindulged, uber-elitist rich that are dedicated to publishing disinformation for the singular purpose of destroying the Judeo-Christian principles, philosophies, and heritage of the American culture and constitutional form of government. They are working 24/7 to propagandize our youth into believing we live in a full democratic form of government where we're governed by popular opinion alone. The George Soros agenda is the same. I mean, this guy has taken over the internet in ways that's like a real estate baron or the old railroad tycoons. But his agenda, folks, is extremely socialist communist. It's to destroy God while transferring as much of the world's wealth into his own hands as quickly as he can. Soros has already personally, financially collapsed 4 third world nations for his own financial gain. And I saw him in an interview about it, and I mean, he thinks he's so hot and so funny, just financially devastating nations. This is a prime example to me of the difference between the good the people can do and the bad that they could do. With that kind of money, billions and billions of dollars, he could do just the opposite. He could prop things up. He could help people financially. He could transform nations, the economic status and the health and well-being of nations. But they choose to get more. He pushes misinformation and disinformation to the breakdown this country, to create division and tear it apart, to divide and conquer. Yet the liberal left-wing godless agenda supports him in his misdeeds. And I shouldn't say godless, I should say anti-Christian. In fact, the left-wing socialistic party of acceptance and internal unity falls into line on everything the left, especially President Obama, throws out there. They fall in hook, line, and sinker. They're puppets and they're proud of it. They don't question and they don't deviate, and they especially will not defect the party. They're eternally unified despite the wildest, most radical activities, narratives, and agendas imaginable. The conservatives are different. I mean, I'm not pushing the politics here hard, but the point is the conservatives are shooting for the truth. As I said in the previous show, without an anchor and a compass, you will drift about and move from one controversy to the next. Truth does not change, but deception never stops evolving. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yet the devil needs to change and adapt his strategies continuously. Some theologically challenged socialists who actually care for the poor will express admiration for Jesus Christ because he was a friend of the masses of the working class. While some socialists embrace a skewed understanding of Jesus, Karl Marx came to loathe Christ. He hated him. Marx was not driven by a desire for social equality, but by a hatred for Jesus Christ. According to Marx, the abolition of religion is essential for man to find true happiness. Then over 300 million people have been killed for refusing to fall in line with communism in the past 100 years. Marx hated Christianity and replaced it with forced atheism. It's interesting how someone who's consumed with hatred becomes so determined to force others to change to meet their requirements. The Bible is very clear that you can do anything in the whole world, but if you have not love, you are nothing. As the Bible says, you're either for God or against Him. If you don't have love, you don't have God. If you don't have God, you don't have love. And you're doing the bidding of the devil, which is to steal and kill and destroy. Hatred creates a terrible blindness and functions as a cancer that consumes our minds, body, and spirit. Love and hate cannot coexist. A true believer filled with the Holy Spirit cannot harbor true hatred. To hate is to admit or allow something or someone to control you. Bitterness is like drinking a fatal poison and hoping it kills the object of your hatred. I realize there are people in the church that do terrible things as a lifestyle, but just being in the church does not make them born again. Even in the parable of talents, the man who got one talent was greedy. Out of fear, he projected his own angriness and bitterness of heart back onto the master, and then it says he was cast into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. God addressed him as, "You wicked and lazy servant," because he was driven by fear, which he converted to anger, then he projected his own shortcomings onto God. When we don't like what we've been served, our contention is with God, not with man. Marx's followers pursued an anti-Christian utopia that from the beginning focused on political power, not on meeting the needs of the poor. Like today's seductive vision of change, their socialist communist transformation required a crisis and a purpose that would capture public attention and provide the needed momentum. Karl Marx wrote a poem. It said, "So a God has snatched from me my all in the curse and rack of destiny. All his worlds are gone beyond recall. Nothing but revenge is left to me. I shall build my throne high overhead. Cold, tremendous shall its summit be. For its bulwark, superstitious dread. For its martial, blackest agony." This is obviously not about the plight of the poor. It's biblical language where in Isaiah, it talks about the fall of Satan. It says, "How you've fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" That's what Satan said, and Karl Marx said, "I shall build my throne a high overhead. Cold, tremendous shall its summit be." This is clearly biblical language. The point of Marxist communism is a hate-obsessed anti-Christian religion. It's all to destroy Christianity and anyone associated with it, and it has. It is a cancerous plague of the devil. Socialism and communism do not create beautiful utopias. Do not be deceived. Not only do you need to protect yourself for what is ultimately coming, but you need to be well grounded in Scripture so you know how to protect yourself and properly educate those around you. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, located in Spokane, Washington, at 3201 North Division Street in the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And remember to join us every week for True Wealth.